This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's Cashing Out VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, hanging out with you from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. Some updates across the live action we have going on. One last college basketball game. We were on the over. The over is not going to get home, it doesn't look like. Nevada with a 64-63 lead on San Diego State, although overtime would certainly help. We can get to overtime as the Wolfpack lead by one. They are now catching, San Diego State with the lead because they're about to hit a shot here. 65-64, Aztecs with the lead. They're laying 1.5, minus 135 on the money line, plus 105 there. In terms of the NBA, one late game going on. Kings up by one. I kept saying take the Mavericks, +6.5, +4.5. I didn't actually do it because I was losing three player props here, but the Kings up. Oh, they're tied now. 76-76, and Dallas is back to being a 2.5-point favorite, total at 210.5. So that's where we stand with the live action. Let's look ahead to Wednesday's card, and to do that, we're going to welcome in our buddy Greg Hoops Peterson. You can check out his podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, all of his write-ups up at vsin.com every single day. He breaks down every single college basketball game so you don't have to. And give him a follow on X, at GUnit_81. My friend, thanks as always for doing this. Let's talk about what's going to go down. A really solid Wednesday card now that we have conference play here. So let's begin with, I saw you had a play on Creighton and Villanova. Villanova's laying 6.5 in this matchup. I believe the total when I looked was 141.5. You think the Blue Jays are live as dogs here to stay within that number?
Yep, I do think so. I accept Creighton as more of a 3.5-point underdog, so I like the points. And with Creighton, this team got off to a really rough start to the season. It felt like they were in a little bit of transition, but I do feel like Creighton is starting to find their bearings. Even though they lost that game to Seton Hall, you can tell that they were playing a little bit better. And for Villanova, the team is ghastly in terms of their perimeter defense. At home, they allow teams to shoot 40.9% from three-point range. Outside, the top 330 in all of college basketball. Now, Duke Brennan has been great down low. He's been able to spy that team with 12 rebounds per game. But for Villanova, this is also not a team that pushes tempo. I think a lot of people take a look at that Crab 5 team that Kevin Willard had last season, and they think that by nature, he's a little bit more of an up-tempo coach. But other than that team, his teams are typically pretty slow, pretty controlled. I think that Creighton is going to be able to do a solid job of holding in there. And Creighton does not allow you to get cheap points. Third in the country in terms of fewest free throw attempts allowed on a per possession basis. So took the 6.5 with Creighton. And now that we're above 140, I also like that total under.
Ooh, I like that. I like where your head's at there. Yeah, I'm with you on the under as well. Let's go to another game here and the games that you like. They'll be up on vsin.com as well. And I'm with you on the under here. Purdue's laying 15.5 against Washington. Total's 152.5. Feels like a game. Purdue with a big lead. Call off the dogs. Not as much scoring late. I think the under makes a lot of sense. Talk to me about your handicap here.
Absolutely. And I am actually willing to lay the big number with Purdue, even though it's getting up to 16.5, because I just don't think that this Washington team is the same, because they now are without Wesley Yates, one of their main scorers. He was shooting about 34% from three, which doesn't sound significant, but Washington as a collective shoots 31.8% from three. That's outside the top 250 in all of college basketball. And a lot of people think of Purdue as this offensive team, and certainly they're number one in the country in terms of points scored on a per possession basis, top 10 team with their 3-point shooting percentage as well. But they're also top 50 team in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis, and a slow team. Outside the top 280 in terms of total possessions per game. And with Washington, with that Yates injury, they've been playing at a rate of about 3 to 3.5 possessions per game fewer ever since he's been out as well. So Washington is needing to slow down that tempo. Hannes Steinbeck is very rock solid down low. But other than that, you don't have a ton. You've got Oscar Clough, Trey Kaufman-Wren for Purdue giving you 18-plus rebounds per game. And then with this Washington team, what needs to be factored in? The travel. They have to go through multiple time zones as well. So I think that that's going to affect them. I like that under, and I'm willing to lay the big number here with Purdue.
Greg Hoops Peterson is with us at GUnit_81 on X, Coast to Coast Hoops. Download it wherever you get your podcast. Greg breaks down every single game, every single day, and he's got write-ups every day over at vsin.com as well. Let's go into the SEC. Oklahoma, I'm looking at them as a 1.5, 1-point favorite on the road at Mississippi State. Total sitting at 159.5. What do you like between the Sooners and the Bulldogs?
And when I was writing this up, Mississippi State was a very slight favorite. Now that they're the underdog, I will be looking at them on the money line. But what I wrote up here is the under. You have a Mississippi State team that has never been a good three-point shooting team under Chris Jans. As a matter of fact, Chris Jans has never had a Mississippi State team be above the top 200 in their three-point shooting percentage, right around about 211th this year. I think that there's positivity to win for this Oklahoma three-point shooting defense. Last year, top 25 team in terms of opponents' three-point shooting percentage. That has fallen off outside the top 225 this year. Oklahoma does a great job in terms of taking care of the ball. They're a top 30 team in terms of fewest turnovers on a per-possession basis. But as we know, with this system, they just play relatively slow and controlled, 195th in terms of total possessions. Brian Porter Mosier's teams have never really been up-tempo, and Oklahoma pretty stout with regards to their interior defense as well. I do think that Mississippi State does find a way to be able to pull it out. It is an Oklahoma team that, other than Muhammad Wagyu, you don't necessarily have a ton of rebounders, so second and third chances should be there for Mississippi State. I think that Mississippi State gets back to their roots as well. When these Chris Jans teams have been really good, it's been because of good low post play. I look at Quincy Ballard being an X factor in this game, so I do like Mississippi State here on the money line, and I think that Mississippi State goes back to pound the ball a little bit more down low. I like that under.
All right, sorry, Greg. I'm a bit distracted. I'm sweating at an over in Nevada and San Diego State. I got over 141.
I'm on the under, actually.
Oh, you know what? I think you're on the right side. It was trending my way early on, and then middle of the first, the scoring just stopped. We got a minute 13 to go. 67-66, San Diego State is leading. So we're looking at, what, 143 or 133 right now, a minute 13 to go. I think you're okay. And I'm not just trying to jinx you because you're on the other side of me. All right, let's go back to
Wednesday. Jinxes don't exist.
Let's go back to Wednesday's card. BYU laying 17.5, 18, hosting Arizona State. Your total 164.5. Which direction are you looking here?
I'm going to be looking at the points with Arizona State. They've actually been really good with their perimeter three-point shooting away from home at 39.7%. And a lot of people, when you think of BYU, think of a high-powered offense. They've actually been more efficient on the defensive side of things. For BYU, 28th in the country in terms of points per possession, with AJ DeBanza being incredible. 22-plus points per contest. He's starting to climb his way into the Wooden Award watch. And on the flip side of things, for BYU, they're actually 18th. In terms of points allowed on a per possession basis. And both teams are fast, but they're not overly fast. Both teams are right around 110th to 95th in terms of total possessions per game. So upper half, but it's nothing extreme. I do think the Mo Odom is going to be able to keep Arizona State lively in this game. One of the more underrated guards in all of college basketball, 15 plus points, 6.5 assists per game. It's an Arizona State team that they don't grab a lot of second and third chances with regards to offensive rebounds, but they're pretty solid at being a top 85 team in terms of generating turnovers. I like that backcourt to be able to keep them lively against a BYU team that, outside of Kevin Keita, they don't necessarily have a ton of size down low. Masamba Diop has been rock solid for this Arizona State team. So I'm looking at the points, even though it's very difficult to be able to play at the Marriott Center. And I'm going to be in on that under as well, as I think that mid-160s has just got a little bit too far.
I feel like almost every week we do this, you have a bet on George Mason. I could be wrong, but I feel like you like George Mason. So they may be a sneaky team this year. George Mason's on the road at Fordham in the Bronx. They're laying 6. Total is 133.5, which actually been bet down from the opener at 135.5. Talk to me about George Mason. Why do you like him so much here?
And rightfully so that this total has been bet down. You've got two top 55 teams in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis, and pretty much are identical. I believe that George Mason is 52nd and Fordham is 53rd in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis. But I mean, it's right there, nip and tuck. But the reason why I like George Mason here is that their 3-point shooting is much better than that of Fordham. Fordham is right now shooting less than 31% from 3-point range. They're outside the top 300 in all of college basketball. George Mason on the road is shooting over 41% from the outside. They brought in a guy by the name of Corey Mincy from Presbyterian. He's been shooting over 40% from three, that rock solid 16 plus point per game score that they needed. Jahari Long, the Maryland transfer, 11.5 points per game. He shoots over 40% from three. And this is a George Mason team that can stand up to Fordham on the glass. The forte of this Fordham team is being able to own things down low, top 45 team with regards to rebound percentage. But George Mason has not been allowing a lot of second and third chances themselves. Top 60 team in terms of defensive rebound percentage with Riley Allen-Patch doing a solid job there. So with George Mason. I like the way that they play defensively. Both teams outside the top 3 in terms of total possessions per game, so rightfully so that this total has been bet down. I'm in on the under. I think that George Mason wins it from the outside with that outside shooting. I've laid the numbers with the Patriots.
I think your under's looking good. San Diego State up by 3 after a missed free throw. Could have been an and one 3-point play. Or 3-point conversion, I guess, for Nevada or for San Diego State on the other end. They miss the free throw. Nevada comes back the other way. They miss a wide open look for 3. It's 69-66. San Diego State's at the free throw line. 17.7 to go. So let's see, we're at 135 right now. 136, 137. Yeah, I still think your under is going to end up hitting. I bet over on 141. So good luck to you, Greg. I actually hope your bet hits because I don't think my bet deserves to win. And if you want more winners from Greg, check out the podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, wherever you get your podcasts, and read his articles over at vsin.com. Thanks, as always, for doing this. We will chat again in a week.
Always appreciate it, Dustin. Thank you. And maybe we both cash some winners on Wednesday.
I love to hear it. Hey. We talk about all the time about making smart bets, even though the bet we're talking about right now for me probably wasn't a smart bet. Smart advertisers are doing the same with Mission Media. You want real results? Mission Media connects your brand with audiences that actually engage. From premium podcasts, connected TV, to data-driven digital campaigns, they deliver measurable ROI. And as VSiN's exclusive ad partner, Mission Media gives you direct access to one of the most loyal, action-oriented sports audiences anywhere. Your brand deserves more than impressions. It deserves influence. Get started at vsin.com/advertise or email advertising@vsin.com. Cashing out, VSiN, the sports betting network. We are sweating out this bet. It's 70-66. San Diego State with the lead. So we're at, 136? 17.7 to go. One more free throw, 137. I need Nevada to come back the other way, hit a bucket, get a foul, and then potentially we could go over, but it doesn't look good. Need a lot to go right there. We'll take you through the end of that and the NBA game, Sacramento and Dallas. That's a close one. 3-point game there. Plus, can the Chargers upset the Patriots?
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
Out here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, I think we're getting a miracle in Reno. Welcome back in. It's Cashing Out VSiN, the sports betting network. We're at 73-68, which is 141 by my math. Oh my God, he missed a free throw. Oh. I celebrated too soon. You gotta be kidding me. All right, for those that don't know, San Diego State and Nevada. Final score. Let me get it for you. God. Like, I had it. We freaking had it. What is happening here? Oh, my God. All right. 73-68 is your final. With 0.7 seconds to go, we push. So we didn't lose the bet. But we had San Diego State shooting a 101 at the free throw line to go over our 141 bet. And he misses the free throw. The game ends. 73-68. It lands right on the total as the Aztecs pick up the win. In a game I thought there would be points. Like, these two teams, normally with San Diego State involved in the past, you'd think about the under. Instead, I thought the over, because they were shooting well this year, made sense. We get a push. So we essentially just wasted our time. I would rather lose a bet than win a bet sometimes. At least when I lose a bet, I can learn something. And a push is the worst. A push is the worst you can have. Winning a bet, obviously it's the best feeling. It's the feeling we're all chasing all the time. But I would much rather lose a bet than push. That's what I meant to say. I'd much rather lose than push, because at least I can go, okay, I'm wrong about this team. I'm wrong about this situation. I'm wrong about either home, away, underdog, whatever it may be. I'm wrong. And I can take that and put it in the memory bank. When I push, it's like, you were almost right, but you were also almost wrong. I can't do anything with that information. So I just wasted my time caring about that game between Nevada and San Diego State, which I didn't have, if I didn't have a bet on, trust me, I would not have cared about that game. We do have an NBA game currently going on. as the Kings lead the Mavericks 87-86 with 6:37 to go. Dallas is laying 1.5. Now Sacramento's laying 1.5. 205.5 is your in-game total. We are sweating out a few bets here. We have Maxime Reynaud over 20.5 points and rebounds. Points and rebounds. He is 12-7. He's at 19. We need a bucket from that big man from Stanford via France. So can we get my man involved in the offense here? We're going to lose on our Nick Clifford bet. And Najee Marshall, he's at 8 points with 6:10 to go. We need over 12.5. He has like a shot, but I don't feel good. It's going to end up being a pretty rough day for your boy here. I mean, college basketball, we're looking at 4-2-1 now on the night. So that's okay. But NBA, we're 3-4 with these three remaining. And I'm not optimistic. Sometimes when I'm the least optimistic, though, that's when good things tend to happen to me. You know who's more optimistic than me? The rest of my friends, my coworkers here on VSiN. You're going to hear from them, their thoughts on everything going on in the world of sports in a segment we call Night Bites.
At 4th-and-1 at midfield, drop 11, the Raiders really can't do anything.
But they're one of the best teams in baseball.
Night Bites.
Night Bites. Do you get it? Because it's a sound bite at night. You're welcome for singing. All right, let's begin. Sharp Money is the name of the podcast. You can download it wherever you get your podcast. Two of my closest friends, Mike Somich and Patrick Maher, although with the lack of text message I send to them, they probably would argue with me saying they are my closest friends. I'm probably not one of their closest friends. That's the argument I would make, is that I don't communicate well with others. But I still don't have a lot of friends. So they are still, even though I don't communicate with them enough, they are still my closest friends. I'm probably not their closest friends. Either way, they're on the Sharp Money podcast. I suggest you get it wherever you get your podcast. They do it a couple times a week. And they were talking about this matchup in Foxborough between the Chargers and the Patriots. New England's laying 3.5. The total's 46.5. And Mike Somich laid out the case for why he thinks the Chargers are an interesting play.
New England is 3.5. Hosting the Chargers and 45.5 on the total.
This is another one that I think is pretty tough. Weather's going to be nice, 46 degrees on Sunday, and perfect. Partly cloudy. So no issue here for the Chargers having to travel there. I understand why you kind of want this team if you are the Chargers, because their pass rush is not ferocious and your offensive line stinks. Totally. So from that perspective, it allows Herbert to be able to work some magic. You also have a zone-heavy team in the Chargers that are going to take on a big play team through the air, specifically for the Patriots. What the Chargers do well is limit those big plays. So from a matchup perspective, it does feel like it's a lot better matchup than someone like, I don't know, Houston, right? Where you're going to be able to... Yeah. Really cook with what you've got on offense and your defense match as well. It's probably Chargers or pass at this number.
Chargers.
Yeah. I think it's a 3-point game. I think it's 3 either way here. I think the Chargers could beat them.
I think that's fair.
I agree with Michael. I agree. I bet the Chargers. I like the 3.5. I just think that defense is going to make it an interesting low possession game. I think we're going to see a test for New England, at least on their offense against the Chargers defense. We'll see what that Patriots defense does against the depleted front in front of Justin Herbert, but I'm with him. I do like the Chargers catching the 3.5 in that spot. How about the matchup with the Rams and the Panthers, as John Hansen, the guru, talked about a player in this game that he thinks will be the number one ranked player for wide receivers in the and overall for the postseason. Here's what the guru had to say on prop points.
Fantasy has been my deal for, I lost track. It's over 30 years, 32 maybe. Started when I was 6. No, I was a little older than that. But ranking players for the entirety of the postseason. And of course, as we've mentioned, we are using my projected number of games in my bracket to rank the players. Obviously, more games equal more points. Let's get into it. I've got Puka Nacua as the number one wide receiver and the number one player overall. These numbers represent the overall ranking, and we're going to list them in the positional ranking. So Puka Nacua is numero uno.
So if you're doing any fantasy when it comes to the postseason, he's saying Puka Nacua, someone to target, should be playing a lot of games the rest of the way. Catch John Hansen, the guru on prop points from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern time right here on VSiN. Next up, when it comes to Night Bites, we're going to go over to, what's the name of the podcast? Not Bet the Futures. I'm trying to think of it. Oh no, why am I blanking right now? What is the name of JVT? He literally says it every single time on Money Moves, and Stormy gives him hell. Hang on, let me see. What is the name of his podcast? Pod to the Futures. See, we used to do a segment on Follow the Money when I was a producer called Track to the Future, and we had a whole graphic made up with Mitch and Pauly as the two characters from Back to the Future. But Pod to the Futures, featuring Jonathan Von Tobel, Mitch Moss, and they had an interesting discussion. Two guys that I really respect when it comes to betting the NBA, betting futures specifically. And they said, this guy's number for Defensive Player of the Year, it's a little off. Let's get in on it now. Who is that player? Well, they're going to share with you right now.
He should be getting another Defensive Player of the Year award. It's Rudy Gobert. And you can have him still at as high as 12-1 from what I see.
How is Chet minus 220? Number one, they're in a funk losing games. Number two, it's the whole team.
It's the whole team.
This goes back to Gobert when he got it over Wembanyama. The whole team was so good, though.
Yeah, and it's the whole team with the Thunder. And let me tell you, the advanced numbers tell you that Hartenstein is actually the heart and soul of the defense, more so than Chet.
Yeah.
So based on all of this, like I'm just telling you right now, 12-1 available is going to be gone by end of day today or tomorrow, certainly by the end of this week.
Great tweets.
Rudy Gobert will turn into either the odds-on favorite or the second shot on the board within a couple of days, is my prediction.
And Mitch was right. 7.5-1 on Rudy Gobert right now. Second shot on the board. Chet Holmgren's minus $2. I don't understand that at all. I really don't get it. Gobert, 7.5-1 makes all the sense. By the way, that was on Follow the Money, not Pod to the Futures. My bad on that. So could have avoided looking stupid and not knowing the name of the podcast. But Gobert defensively, a lot of people like to give this guy a lot of grief. He is a versatile defensive center. He does a lot. He's not just a shot blocker. My biggest issue when you bet this market is the obsession with just shot blockers winning Defensive Player of the Year. To me, the hardest thing to do is defend someone on the wing. Now, in today's NBA, are there that many elite defenders, and there probably aren't statistics and metrics that really show you who the best wing defenders are. That is more difficult. Like someone like Amen Thompson, I think, is more someone who I would back for Defensive Player of the Year, but that's not who the voters vote on in the end. It ends up being a big, someone who blocks a lot of shots. As I did just see, Najee Marshall did get a bucket. Where are we at? Marshall's up to 10. Oh, there's 3:35 to go. Sacramento's up 91-88. We need three more points from Najee Marshall. We got there. Maxime Raynaud. How about that? Our guy. 20.5 points and rebounds. He's got 12-9. By my math, that is 21. We cover there. Neat Clifford ain't going to happen, brother. 3 points. One rebound for Neat Clifford. That is not looking good. But, hey, maybe Najee Marshall can come through. Can we get three more points from – he's up to 12. We need one more. Najee. Hey, before the line moves, the sharp plays is already there. January isn't about volume. It's about precision. The NFL playoffs are when limits rise, mistakes shrink, and timing matters more than ever. They're powered by advanced AI. They're connected to proven insider sources, and they are locked in on the NFL playoffs. The sharp plays helps identify where the sharp money hits before the number disappears. You'll get free daily reports, real-time alerts, and market-moving insights delivered straight to your inbox or X feed. Since 2011, they've backed it all up with documented results, public logs, and transparent receipts. SharpPlays.com, trusted by the pros, monitored by the books. Stay ahead of the line this postseason. Visit SharpPlays.com today. All right, we'll sweat out the end of Kings Mavericks, 91-90, under 3 minutes to go. Kings with the lead, plus some best bets from pro bettor Scott Spritzer. That's coming your way on the other side of Cashing Out.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Cashing Out rolls on from the Circa Sportsbook downtown Las Vegas. We have got a pretty good NBA game going on right now as the Mavericks with a three. Is that Najee Marshall? Najee Marshall gets home. Let's go. It's now a 93-93 game. We are tied up with a minute 20 to go, and Najee Marshall gives us a 2-for-3 night in that game, which brings us to, because Neat Clifford ain't going to happen, man. That means we are now... we're 5-5. I'm celebrating a 500 day in NBA props, but you know what? It started out pretty ugly. More on the player props, because two guys that we bet on and lost tonight, they only played in the low 20 minutes in their game. I think there could be an opportunity on them on a back-to-back to play more when it comes to Wednesday's card. College Hoops went 4-2-1. So technically we're up on the day. So not a horrible day, but not the best day. But hopefully a guy who can help us win some more bets along the way is our next guest. He is Scott Spritzer, professional handicapper, legend in the game. DocSports.com is where you can find him, and at Scott Wins on X. And Scott joins us on the Progressive Guest Line. Appreciate you as always, my friend. It's been a pretty good game of a day of action. You know, we didn't have football yesterday, and then college hoops with conference play has been exciting. NBA has been really good now that we're locked in paying attention to it. But we do have NFL games this week, and you have a bunch of plays when it comes to the playoffs. So let's get right into them. And Carolina and the Rams, I am perplexed by the total here, Scott. I don't know what to do with it. I haven't bet the side. I have a team total play on the Rams. But right now, LA's laying 10.5. Total's 46.5. And you think the over is worth a shot in this matchup?
Yeah, and as far as the side is concerned, you know, if you're a wild card player over the years, you've played home dogs and done quite well. But in the rare instance that a team is a double-digit favorite, those teams have dominated in the wild card rounds. You got conflicting angles for this round of football. But as far as the total, which is what I got involved with already, I think the Panthers will be confident. I mean, after what they did in Week 13, putting up 31 points on the board. Bryce Young was efficient, 15 of 20, 10 yards per pass, a little bit more than that. He had multiple touchdowns and no picks, and they averaged almost 6 yards per play against the Rams. And you can beat the Rams downfield with big receivers, and Carolina has the size of wide receiver to do so. And as far as the Rams, they averaged 7.5 yards per play in that particular game. And if not for a couple of turnovers, they land in the 30s themselves. So I look at that. I look at Devontae Adams expected to return. He caught both touchdown passes from Stafford in that first meeting. And I was checking out the weather earlier today, and they're saying there might be some rain, but comfortable temps and minimal winds. And that's advantage to the wide receivers and the routes they run, if that's the case. So I think it goes over 46.5 here, Dustin.
Yeah, I hope so. I bet the Rams team total over. So I do hope we get some points, at least from their side of things here. And Circa's up to 11. Wow, Circa. We're starting to get to a territory on principle where I have to think about taking Carolina as an underdog at home. That's the only way I ever look to back Dave Canales and Bryce Young together. Now, Buffalo-Jacksonville is an interesting game. I'm seeing the Jags right now as a 1.5-point home dog. Total, 52.5. And I have not bet anything here yet, Scott. And everyone I talk to, they like Jacksonville. And I think it makes sense because they are the better team. I am just fearful of Josh Allen, but I understand why you're doing it. You're going to take the Jaguars as a home dog. Tell me why.
Yeah, and I was doing an opening line show on Sunday night, and then I found out over the last 48 hours that everybody, including most of my neighbors, are on the Jaguars. Doesn't make me feel real great, but I'm on them anyway. Yeah, the Bills have dropped 8 straight road playoff games, 0-5 under McDermott on the road. And that trade deadline acquisition of Jacoby Myers was such a big pickup for Trevor Lawrence and the Jags offense. They've been a different, a better offense, I guess you could say, and he and Lawrence have had an almost instant symbiosis when he got there. So for me, though, the concern I have, and when I handicap games, I'm looking for reasons to take both teams. The one concern I have, the main concern, is that Jacksonville does get a ton of pressure on quarterbacks, but they don't reach the quarterback. They don't put their hands on him. So I'm a little concerned that if they put pressure on Allen, but they're not getting to him, he could have a really big game and punish them with their legs. Having said that, I think, Dustin, the bottom line, I don't believe Buffalo consistently slowed the Jags offense. You got Travis Etienne rushing for 1,100 yards, 4.5 yards per pop. Trevor Lawrence can move in the pocket when needed, and they can beat this team, I think. So Jacksonville is the play for me. I went ahead and took it on Sunday night.
Scott Spritzer is our guest, DocSports.com, professional bettor, at Scott Wins on X. And I'm with you all the way on this play. I think people think I'm a Drake May and Patriots hater. I just like Jim Harbaugh with some of the guys resting up in the final week of the season, going on the road to Foxborough with that defense traveling. New England's laying 3.5, total's 46.5. We're both on the Chargers. Tell everyone why we're on the right side here, Scott.
Yeah, and we know about the injuries up front on offense to the Chargers. It's been that way all season long. They might get a couple of guys back for their depth this week, a couple of linemen listed as questionable, but we've been saying this virtually all year. And if you throw away the game that they didn't care about last week, they're 11-5 in games that they cared about, even with all those injuries and bumps and bruises. Here's the issue for me with the Pats, a couple of them. The Patriots don't get to opposing quarterbacks. They're tied for the 7th fewest sacks in the league. They're bottom 10 in sack percentage. Now, that's not be-all, end-all. After all, the Falcons are near the top in sack percentage, Dustin, but it does matter here because the Pats won't likely be able to take advantage of the Chargers' offensive line injuries like a Denver or a Houston Texans defense would. So I like that for the Chargers' sake. And also, you got a young quarterback laying more than a field goal in his very first playoff game against Harbaugh and Justin Herbert. I got to back the Chargers that are getting 3.5.
All right, now let's go over to college football. And I'm a Miami fan. You know this. We were texting about it during the Ohio State game. I'm terrified. I know you don't have a play on the side in Ole Miss and Miami, but I'm terrified of how many people I know who are believing in Mario Cristobal, Scott. That feels like a dangerous proposition. You know as a better. He's a guy in big games that you look to fade. However, they're 3.5-point favorites against Ole Miss. The total's 52.5. The total is what you're looking at. You want to go over or do you want to go under here?
I like the under here. I mean, it's been 7 games since a team scored more than 17 points against the Canes. And in that game, that was SMU. They scored 26 points, but they had 23 yards rushing on 25 carries. Miami held Ohio State and A&M to 134 rushing yards on 2.3 yards per carry. Ole Miss is decent, but not great on the ground. And if Chambliss has to win with his arm, you know, he's got the talent, but not against this defense as far as I'm concerned. And Miami's offense, I think, sets a tone on the ground. I don't think you want to put the onus of the offense on Beck and his passing shoulders because he does make mistakes. But Ole Miss, who's decent against the pass, is mediocre, relatively speaking, against the run. So I think Miami can run the football, let their defense do the rest, and keep this one under the total.
All right, then Indiana and Oregon. Oh, this is a tough one, Scott. Rematch. You got Oregon in a revenge role, but I don't see how anyone beats Indiana. They don't shoot themselves in the foot. They're laying 3.5. The total's 47. Who do you want to back in this game?
You said it all right there, man. I mean, I'm talking to a couple of the guys I really respect before the Alabama game, and they had great reasons to back Bama as far as angles and all this kind of stuff. And I said, Indiana is the most fundamentally sound football team I've seen in a long, long time. They just don't shoot themselves in the foot. And I get it. 4 of the 5 playoff rematches, the team has lost that lost the regular season game won the rematch. But a 5-game sample size means very little to me. And I think this team is just going to be so sound and ready for this. I mean, the team is sick. And I mean in a great way sick. No other team is as fundamentally sound as the Hoosiers. And if you look back at the win in Eugene, 30-20, Oregon's offense scored 1 touchdown, 2 field goals. One of the touchdowns was a pick six. They gained 267 yards on just 4 yards per play. They mustered a grand total of 81 yards on 30 carries. The Hoosiers sacked Dante Moore 6 times. I cannot back Oregon here. It's Indiana or nothing. I laid it with Indiana. If I lose, I lose, but I'm going with this fundamentally sound football team.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think I have to do that. Even though, like, I've bet against them so much. Now I feel like I'm reacting to all the losses that I've had along the way. Not that I didn't believe in them. I just always thought, hey, it's too many points. What about college basketball? You have something coming up here on Wednesday. You want to look at this Kentucky-Missouri game. Looking at the spread right now, Wildcats lane 13.5. Total's 151.5. Which direction do you like?
Yeah, when I sent this to you and Adam, it was about 11.5, but I like Kentucky up to 14, believe it or not. And I know that sounds like, you know, you're not getting the value, but they're off a loss at Alabama, the Cats, and it wasn't pretty. They made 4 3-pointers. That was it. The Tide went 15 of 38 from area code 3. But I think Mark Pope is going to have his players back on track in this one. They normally play strong 3-point defense, and offensively, I believe they'll get back to dominating inside the arc, which is where they made over 58% of their shots. And then Mizzou followed that 43-point loss to the Illini. Big upset of Florida. But this Tigers team, man, they commit too many turnovers for my blood. They're in a tough spot. So even though the line has gone up 1.5 or so, I like Kentucky in this one.
He is Scott Spreitzer, DocSports.com handicapper, at Scott Wins on X, a legend in the game. I appreciate you doing this. As always, my friend, good luck with the bets, and we will chat again next week.
Thanks, Dustin. Best of luck, man.
An update in Sacramento. The Mavericks come back to win 100-98. You know, God, sometimes you just got to back these teams that go off as favorites, that are trailing in NBA games. They can always come back. We could have gotten, we talked about 6.5 with them. We talked about 4.5 with them. And in the end, they went outright. 198, Sacramento could not hang on to the lead. We cashed 2 out of our 3 bets in that game. Maxime Raynaud finishes with 14-9. We went over 20.5 points and rebounds for him. And Najee Marshall drops 15. We had over 12.5 points there. Unfortunately, Neek Clifford does not do much with an extended role. 3 points, 1 rebound for him off the bench. But I'm still going to look to back him in certain situations. Speaking of backing him, I have a couple guys that I'm backing from a player prop perspective in the NBA on Wednesday's card. We will look at Wednesday's action in the NBA and college basketball. All of that part of our VSiN Morning Bets segment, which is coming your way right after this on Cashing Out.
Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. You're locked into VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. This show has flown freaking by. It's been nuts here. We had a lot of news of the day in the NFL when it came to John Harbaugh, some of the other coach rumors spreading around. We covered a lot of that with James Palmer, NFL insider for Bleacher Report, in our first hour. If you missed it, I do suggest going back and download the show wherever you get your podcast. Previewed the Niners and the Eagles with John Lund, longtime Bay Area sports radio voice. Ben Stevens from VSiN looked at the college football playoff in hour number two. Earlier this hour, Greg Hoops Peterson all over college basketball. We'll have more on that in a moment. And then Scott Spreitzer gave you some best bets in our previous segment. Remember, you can always go back and download the show wherever you get your podcast. And of course, check it out over on the VSiN Watch app. But right now, it's time to preview the Wednesday card of action. And we're going to do that in our VSiN Morning Bets segment. To help me when it comes to the NHL, we're going to welcome in the producer of this program. He is Adam Bernard. He's also a hockey analyst. Check him out on Total Hockey Now, available on YouTube at Pucking Thoughts on X. And Adam's with us now here on the Progressive Guest Line. So let's talk, my friend. You got a couple of plays you like when it comes to the Wednesday card on the ice. We're looking at Stars and Capitals. Right now, it's Washington minus 142 at home, plus 120 the other way with Dallas. Total six and a half. How do you want to attack this?
This is going to be the first half of the TNT doubleheader tomorrow night. Charlie Lindgren got the last start for the Capitals. He hasn't gotten two starts in a row all season, so it'll likely be their ace, Logan Thompson, who's also likely to be Team Canada's starting goalie. He hasn't been at his best lately, going 2-4-1 since his last shutout on December 18th against Toronto, but he has been pretty good against the Stars in his career. He's gone 1-2-1 with 1.77 goals against and a .933 save percentage. Jake Oettinger was yanked from this game tonight, so it probably should be Casey DeSmith tomorrow night, even though he had to come in relief after they lost 6-3 to Carolina. In a backup role this year, Casey DeSmith has gone 9-2-4, the .912 save percentage. You factor that in with Dallas being 4-1 on the second half of back-to-backs, shading to the under, but that only over coming against the Anaheim Ducks, who are one of the top over teams in the league. Both of their Dallas and Washington's meetings went under last year. I know the trends lately have been more over for the teams, but I think this is a matchup that screams under 6.5 here.
All right, the next one up for you. By the way, the beard looks great. I know you shaved it off and it went away for a while, but the beard looks strong. The hair looks good too. Didn't know you had it.
Thank you. That's the second compliment I've gotten on my beard in 2 days.
Yeah. So did you do it yourself or did you get it professionally done? That's what I want to know.
I've been doing my own hair, whatever's left of it, and beard for the past, however, 5 years.
Whatever you're doing right now, it's working, okay? It's working. All right.
Thank you.
And let's see if this next bet is working. You got a couple plays with the Sharks and the Kings. Right now, LA is minus 270 favorite on the money line, plus 220 with San Jose, total 6.5. What do you want to do here?
So this is going to be the third and final meeting for these two division rivals already. So it's crazy that we have a final meeting for the Sharks and Kings. The Kings won 4-3 back in October, and then the Sharks won 4-3 in a shootout back in November, both of those games being at the SAP Center. The Kings are 23-18 to the under this season, 6th best, and 12-8 to the under at home. That's probably because they're the second stingiest team in the league in goals allowed and 5th worst in goals scored, which is a good thing for San Jose, who is 2nd worst in goals allowed. For the Kings, Darcy Kuemper looked good in his last start against Minnesota and seems to have settled back in after returning from injury with making 33 saves in that win. He also plays better at home with better save percentages and goals against average at home. San Jose is 5-1 to the under on back-to-backs. Yaroslav Askarov is getting the start, and he's got a 2-1 record and a goals against a .296 in his career against the Kings. The Kings are the 6th worst team against the spread in the NHL at 16-25. And believe it or not, 5-15 against the spread at home. The Sharks are the 4th best against the spread at 27-14. So the Sharks have some momentum here. They've won 5 of 6. So I'm actually going to take the Sharks plus a puck and a half on the puck line at minus 122. And I'm also going to take the under 6.5 here as well.
He is Adam Bernard. He is the producer of Cashing Out. He also is part of Total Hockey Now, which you can check out on YouTube and at Pucking Thoughts on X. Thank you as always, my friend. We'll chat in 6 minutes when the show ends.
Sounds good.
All right. I got some plays coming up in college basketball I want to break down here, including an under in Creighton and Villanova. We're going to go under 141.5. I just think everything points to the under. Big East matchup, physical game, Kevin Willard's teams usually trend to the under. He's won 18 and 87 to the under as a home favorite or pick in his career. And on the other side, Greg McDermott. He's 102 and 66 to the under on the road. He's 61 and 36 to the under as a road dog or pick. And he's 20 and 11 to the under as a road dog of 6.5 to 12. I like the under. I like both of these defenses. I think we go under 141.5 with Creighton and Villanova. Another under I like is in Washington and Purdue. I think Purdue can score, and I like Danny Sprinkle as a coach, but I think they're a bit outmatched here with the depth that the Boilermakers offer, and it feels like the type of game with a big point spread where Purdue calls off the dogs late. I like under 152.5 in this matchup with Washington and Purdue. Purdue really good defensively, especially defending the three, and it's not like Washington's very good at shooting the three, so I think they could fall into quicksand, get out of this early, and not be able to claw their way back into the matchup. So let's go under in Washington and Purdue. All right, Alabama and Vanderbilt. This is an interesting one because we've got a high point total with both teams being teams that like to get up and go. Alabama's a team, it's one of the few teams I won't fade when there's always a big total with them. But if they're going to play a team like Vanderbilt that likes to get up and go, and I'm seeing 178.5 out there as the total in the market, I'll take the over. And I don't really like doing a lot of overs in college basketball. But look, Nate Oates, 18 and 7 to the over as a road dog of 6 or less. He's 75 and 41 to the over versus teams that make more than 45% of their shots. Mark Byington, 2 and 1 against the spread as a home favorite of 6 or less. I wouldn't lay the 4.5 here, but I do like Byington, who's 1 and 0 to the over, just one shot when the total's greater than 170. We're going to go over in Vanderbilt and Alabama. Arkansas, Ole Miss, this is another over I like. I think that number's a little bit low. I'd consider taking Ole Miss plus the 5 points. With Arkansas coming to town, I don't hate that. Calipari's just 0-3 against the spread as a road favorite at Arkansas. He's 7-10 against the spread when the total's between 150 and 159.5. Chris Beard, 6-0 to the over as a home dog. He's 10-4 to the over on Wednesdays. Take that for what it's worth. I'm going to go over 151.5. I think that total is like 2-3 points, a little bit too low at 151.5. A dog that I like, we'll see how this goes, but Virginia's playing well of late. But I like Cal, and you can get 12. I'm seeing a 13, I think, out there. Let me double check that. Yeah, you can get a 13 over at the South Point. Caesars has a 13. I like that. I like Cal catching the points. Mark Madsen, 9-0 against the spread on the road when the total's between 140 and 149.5. He's 4-2 against the spread as a road dog of 12.5 to 18. Give me Virginia on the road, or Cal on the road at Virginia, catching a big fat number. Another under I really like is Indiana and Maryland. The updated number there for Indiana and Maryland, just want to get that for you there in case it has moved since I looked at it. 148.5. Yeah, the under is the way I'm going to look. Buzz Williams, he's a guy traditionally I like to bet unders on. DeVries, you know, Indiana's got some playmakers, but I just think that number is a little bit too high at 148.5. Both teams are Indiana defensively pretty solid, I should say. Maryland, you know, under Buzz Williams, he likes to muck it up. He likes to make it more physical. I wouldn't lay it with Indiana, but I also don't love taking it with Maryland. Instead, I'm going to go under in this matchup as Darian DeVries is 56 and 43 to the under when he's off of a home win. This one's moved a little bit between Miami and Wake Forest. And I liked Wake Forest, obviously, when they were catching a point. And right now it's flipped. It's either a pick 'em or it's Wake Forest laying 1, 1.5. And I think that's correct. I think Wake Forest should be favored here. Miami's good, but Wake Forest at home, they should get the benefit of the doubt. I think that they win here outright against Miami in ACC play at home. I like Wake Forest in this spot. We're going to take it with them, or we're going to bet them and lay a point or a pick 'em, depending on where you shop right now. Then in the NBA, we're going to look at a few player props, waiting for some more news to come out. But in Bulls Pistons, we already know Josh Giddey's not going to be available. And for Chicago, Kobe White listed as questionable, injury management. Matas Bazulis has an illness. He's questionable as well. I'm going to go with Nikola Vucevic, over 29.5 points, rebounds, and assists, because he's taking on a Detroit front court that's not going to have Jalen Duren. And with Jalen Duren not available, I think it's a good matchup against Chicago for Isaiah Stewart. They're not very good against power forwards. We'll go Isaiah Stewart over 20.5 points and rebounds against the Bulls front court there. Couple other plays I'm looking for numbers to pop off with. You know, we were wrong. We bet on Wendell Carter and Anthony Black in Tuesday's action, but they only played 20 and 21 minutes. They were being saved for a back-to-back to go up against the Nets on Wednesday. I don't know why they were being saved, but they were. I think Anthony Black could be someone I want to back again, especially if the number adjusts, because it was really high at 29.5 PRA on Tuesday. If it's a little bit lower than that, I'd consider it. Probably going to stay away from Carter, but Black is the guy I'd look to benefit because Jalen Suggs has already been ruled out for Orlando. So that's where we stand on the show. Appreciate you making us part of your night, however you tuned in. Stay with VSiN all day long. It gets started at 7 a.m. Eastern time with VSiN by the books. Then you got a numbers game with Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidlin, followed by with the guru, John Hansen, on Prop Points. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. We will see you next time right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.